This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. And we're going to dig into this Christopher Wray testimony stuff here in a minute. Just a heads up, Sean Spicer is coming up about 30, 45 minutes from now, somewhere like that. No, about 30 minutes from now, Sean Spicer is going to come up and give us some inside baseball stuff on DC and other things. Let's dig into Christopher Wray today. Christopher Wray was more forthcoming than he has been in the past about the various evil things the FBI has done on behalf of the regime. He was forthcoming about many things. Now, you and me, we have to figure out why. Is he having a moment of honesty? Doubtful. Does he have different motives? Probably. But either way, he was more forthcoming today than he has been. I thought this little tidbit was particularly interesting. It's a little long, but stay with me. Here he was.
We have been for quite some time. I in particular have been calling out the efforts by the Iranian government to attempt to retaliate for the killing of Soleimani by going after current or former prominent U.S. officials. And we've even had an indictment against it. And I think that we need to recognize the brazenness of the Iranian regime, including right here in the United States. And I expect that we're going to see more of it, and I expect there'll be more coming on that. I'm not aware of any threat information related to protectees that wasn't, you know, passed in a timely way, but I can't really get into specifics here.
It's a minority's time here, but I just felt that was a question the committee needed to understand, and it sounds like you've known that for a long time, and that information was conveyed to the Secret Service?
Any information related to threats against the former president, which again, as we've sort of talked about, is happens all too often, is something that we have a whole process where we routinely share.
Okay, so let's have a discussion about this, because this is interesting. It can be scary if you dwell on the implications of it, but it is interesting, isn't it? This is how world affairs go. And this is how they've often gone. Really, this is how they've always gone. There is a ramping up of hostilities and a ramping down of hostilities. And this is part of what I've warned about when it comes to our involvement in the Russia-Ukraine thing. What have I said? You're hitting a nation state, not as powerful as us, not near, but you're hitting a powerful, modern nation state in ways that are significant and personal,
and they're going to hit back. They will. Now, I was talking about Russia at the time, but you see how this plays out when it comes to Iran. And this is one of the things as Americans, me, I'll make it about me, as an American, this is one of those things that I have not really dwelled much on in my life. I've been fairly dismissive of. Why is that? For the entirety of my 43 years on this planet, we have been not just a superpower, we have been the superpower. The superpower. We haven't had a near peer when it comes to economic size, when it comes to military capability. It's not just that we've been the most powerful, we've been so much more powerful than even the next closest country that we as Americans have taken something for granted that virtually every other country in the history of the world has not been able to take for granted. And that is this. As Americans, you know, let's rewind. It's the year 1990, and the president of the United States of America finds some dirtball terrorist somewhere who happens to work for Russia. And we decide, you know what, let's kill him. We as Americans have not had to have the same calculation other nations would have in that moment of what the retaliation would be. You know, a great example, because Netanyahu spoke in front of Congress today, a great example of this is Israel. Israel, the way they conduct their foreign policy, remember, there's a great book on this. It's a little long and detailed, so it might take you a while to get through it, but it's a very informative book. The book is called Rise and Kill First. Rise and Kill First. I know, it's thick, Chris. It's thick. But it's a fascinating, it really details how they handle their foreign policy. And the very direct ways, including assassinations, they handle their foreign policy. Now, you can agree or disagree with that. I'm not asking you to be Team Israel when it comes to their foreign policy or anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is what you've seen over and over again, and you actually see it play out in various ways in that book. If you're a country who hates Israel, let's make it about Iran. If you're Iran and you hate Israel, kill all the Jews, that kind of a thing. You may get an opportunity. You will have opportunities to kill an Israeli of some kind. Let's say a government official or some kind of an important Israeli. But when you're making that decision, when the powers that be gather around a table and they decide, hey, should we kill this Israeli? We have this Israeli general. He's visiting the Caribbean. We have an asset there, thinks he can take him out. Should we do it? The reason it's even a question of should we do it is, you know, if you're Iran, they're going to come kill somebody of yours. If you do this, there will be a response. There will be a response, and you have to make that part of your consideration. We here in the United States of America, it's not as if we've never considered this in the past. We have, especially in times like the Cold War. Do you kill this guy? Do you not kill that guy? But we as Americans, for the most part, have not had to make that kind of calculation when we talk about taking out some foreign leader. It just is not something we've had to consider. But ever since they've thrown open our border, weakened our intelligence agencies, destroyed our federal law enforcement arm, ever since they've ensured that America will fade and is fading, ever since that time, well, now the country you are going to live in, the country I am going to live in, the country we live in now we live under a constant assassination threat from another country that would never happened in a million years. I remember, and I'm going to mess up the dates and I'm going to mess up the names, but the story, it's true. We were getting ready to go into Iraq. I was in the Marines at the time. We were stationed in Kuwait. We hadn't declared war yet. We were getting ready to go into Iraq. And I don't remember whether it was before or after we declared war. It doesn't matter. But there was famously an Iraqi general who said, if the American troops come into Iraq, I'm going to use chemical weapons on them. I'm going to use chemical weapons. It's going to be really, really bad. We planted a cruise missile in his living room. That was, and look, you can love that or hate that. I think it's hilarious and awesome. But the truth is, that's the kind of thing that used to happen if you even voiced your intention to harm Americans or American troops. But 4 years of a Biden presidency paying off terrorists. Remember when we gave Russia an arms dealer for a lesbian who plays for the WNBA? Do you remember that trade? We gave them the world's foremost arms dealer for a lady who can't dunk. We did that here. Year after year after year of that, humiliation after humiliation, the pullout in Afghanistan. Oh, that's a good point, Chris. Yemen, the Houthi rebels in Yemen actually attacking our ships without a kinetic response. You do that enough times, you eventually let the world know that the America of 1980 is gone. It's gone, at least for now, until we get much different leadership in there. And these people now, you think they don't already have people here? Russia has people here. Remember that Chechen who just got caught trying to observe, take pictures of the SF guy, the Special Forces guy? You remember that? Ends up getting capped for it, but you remember that? You think the Russians don't have teams here? The Chinese, the Iranians, the various terrorist groups. You think ISIS hasn't moved cells across that border? And when you do what we've done, when you degrade American strength repeatedly over and over and over again, and you do so publicly, when you show your neck, when you show that kind of weakness publicly on the world stage, well, now you're in a situation where we now have to sit around and wait for Iran to kill somebody here? One of our government officials here? Eh, that's the place to be. All right, Christopher Ray had more to say than just that. I meant to get to more than just that. I'll get to it in just a moment. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday, reminding you tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Thursday, all 3 hours dedicated to you and whatever questions you email in to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Of course, Christopher Wray, speaking before Congress today, did give them a heaping helping of the usual.
Why doesn't the FBI disclose to the American people all of the investigative detail and evidence that you are gathering as it is gathered?
Well, we have tried to be transparent with both Congress and the American people as we're going along in the investigation, frankly, unusually so for an ongoing investigation, given the sheer nature of it.
He said this one, too.
I think it's fair to say that we do not yet have a clear picture of his motive.
That I find to be very interesting. No, I don't find it to be revealing. I'm not gleaning anything from that, but we don't have a motive. How often does somebody do something like this without leaving a very clear motive? These people who do these things, they have a tendency to want their motivations known. This doesn't just apply to assassins of important figures. Even remember that tranny shooter in Nashville? Granted, you never got to read it because the FBI and local law enforcement covered it up, but that tranny left a manifesto. They always leave manifestos. Remember that shooter, that ISIS guy at that gay nightclub in Orlando, gunned down something like 48 people under Obama? Remember, he called 911 and he told them explicitly why he was doing it. It was all about Allah and all the other stuff. I'm sure he was a closeted gay dude. Generally, that's how that stuff works. But he laid it all out very clearly why he was doing it. We are now 11 days removed from the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, and there's no manifesto. There's no Facebook post, Instagram post, nothing on Snapchat or whatever the kids are using these days. Nothing? I find it to be odd, extremely odd. I find the kid, I say kid, but he's 20 years old. I find a untrained 20-year-old's level of preparation to also be impressive.
We have recovered a drone that the shooter appears to have used. It's being exploited and analyzed by the FBI lab. The drone was recovered in his vehicle. So at the time of the shooting, the drone was in his vehicle with the controller. So in addition, it appears that around 3:50 p.m., 4 o'clock in that window, that the shooter was flying the drone around the area.
2 hours.
About 11 minutes. I want to be clear, but when I say the area, not over the stage and that part of the area itself, but I would say about 200 yards, give or take, away.
Okay.
From that, we think, but we do not know. So again, this is one of these things that's qualified because of our ongoing review, that he was live streaming, you know, viewing the footage from that, again, about 11.
Again, I don't want to be dismissive of this. This is something you could pick up on if you read enough spy novels and watched enough movies and think, I understand that, but doesn't that strike you as an impressive level of preparation for a 20-year-old? Now, I understand that my IQ is quite a bit lower than most people's, but I don't know that 20-year-old Jesse would have been that prepared. 20-year-olds are impulsive, full of testosterone, ready to go. He had enough foresight to drone it. He had enough foresight to register a week before.
And so one of the things that I can share here today that has not been shared yet is that we've just in the last couple of days found that from our review, to your point about devices, analysis of a laptop that the investigation ties to the shooter reveals that on July 6th, he did a Google search for, quote, how far away was Oswald from Kennedy? And so that's a search that obviously is significant in terms of his state of mind. That is the same day that it appears that he registered for the Butler rally.
He Googles how far away was Oswald from Kennedy on the same day he registered for the rally. He did this a week beforehand. He had a drone where he did recon of the area using the drone hours before the rally on the day of the rally and got his weapon up there somehow, some way.
And did the recovered shells, the cartridges, match the shooter's rifle?
My recollection is yes.
And you conducted an analysis that confirms that?
Well, we work with ATF, but yes, so some of the work has been divided up. But.
And how many shells casings were recovered from the location of the countersnipers?
That I don't have the answer, at least here at my fingertips.
Okay. Were you able to determine whether the shooter took the gun up with him when he climbed up to the top of the roof, or was it already placed there somewhere?
So that is something that we're drilling into right now that we don't know the answer to yet. I can tell you, which may be relevant, though, to your question, that, and I don't think this has been reported yet, that the weapon had a collapsible stock, which could explain why it might have been less easy for people to observe, you know, because one of the things that we're finding is people have observed him. The first people to observe him with the weapon were when he was already on the roof, and we haven't yet found anybody with firsthand observation.
Donald Trump is very lucky to be alive. This is a man, whether he had help or not, this is a man who was set up to do what he did. And Donald Trump is very lucky to be alive. Say a prayer of thanks, all right? And say a prayer of thanks for chalk while you're talking to God, because chalk will make your life better. It will. By the way, before I forget, we're going to talk to Sean Spicer in just a minute. That'll be fun. Sean's going to give us some inside baseball stuff. I hope he doesn't make fun of me for my weird voice today. But chalk, you want a voice like this? It takes testosterone. What, Chris? It takes testosterone and maybe a little bit of laryngitis. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days when you start a male vitality stack from chalk, gentlemen. You ready for that fog in your brain to disappear? Full of pep and energy, ready to go, ladies. Female vitality stacks for you. Chocolate powder for the morning. Some Chad mode before your workout. Start investing in natural herbal supplements. How you feel will tell the tale. after 90 days, shoot, it'll be earlier than that. But after 90 days, you're going to feel like a brand new person. Go chuck.com, chuq.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. All right, now I need some inside baseball stuff on all the Kamala Harris, the donors, the Biden saga, the Pelosi saga. And there's nobody better to give you the inside scoop then my friend Sean Spicer, of course, former Trump White House Sean Spicer, now has the amazing Sean Spicer Show. If you want this stuff on the regular, I highly recommend it. Okay, Sean, the palace coup against Biden, everyone can see it. Everyone with eyes can see it. They bounced Biden. They chose Dome. What aren't we seeing?
Well, I mean, look, I guess the question is, we're not seeing a lot is what it comes down to, and they don't want us to. The thing that, Jesse, that I'm trying to get people to understand is we have, what, 100 plus days. There's things that I want to know, and I guarantee you there's things, a lot of things that Jesse Kelly wants to know. My question and point to people right now is, what is our time better spent on? The DNC, as we speak right now in the last few minutes, changed the nomination rules, okay? So we can spend all of the time that we have talking about how Joe Biden just got pushed aside, how this was a ridiculous and rigged process, and it was. But the point that I would make to everybody out there is that every moment that we're spending talking about the rigged process, we are not focused on Kamala Harris's disastrous record and policies. And that's how people are going to vote. This election last cycle came down to 43,000 votes in three states. People don't vote because of process. Yes, it was rigged. Yes, he got pushed aside. All of that. Is it important? Yes. It's like yelling at the refs in a game, though. Is it going to change the outcome? No. And what I would urge everyone out there is, it, again, I'm not saying it's not important, and I'm not saying we shouldn't focus on it. I'm just saying that we will gain not a single voter focused on process.
Okay, so let's set aside the fact that they installed, or let's set that aside as instructed. Now we have to deal with not necessarily her. She's not somebody I would consider a formidable politician, but the Democrat machine, especially nationally, is, and she inherited Joe's, correct?
Yeah, she's got the staff. She's got $126 million that was raised in the past 48 hours. She has all of Hollywood, all of academia, all of big tech, all of corporation, all the big corporate America. And here's the other thing. She's got the media. And when I tell people she's got the media, look at what these folks from Time Magazine to Axios to Playbook are doing to scrub and defend her record. There are no less than four or five outlets today that are saying that Republicans are falsely accusing her of being in charge of the border. Despite the fact, by the way, that Axios referred to her over and over again over the last several months as the borders are. They are now back in supporting and 100% doing everything they can to prop her up. And why that matters is that you and me and everyone who listens to the Jesse Kelly Show or the Sean Spicer Show or I'm Right with Jesse Kelly on the First knows what's going on. But for millions of Americans who barely have heard of her, the media is doing everything they can and will continue to do so to now reframe this entire debate among a young, vibrant, hardcore American fighting the evil of Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. They are all in. And that's why what I'm saying is that people have to keep their eye on the prize and understand that we're talking about thousands of voters in a handful of states that will make the decision. And we have to remember what is going to make the difference for them when it comes down to who to pull that lever for, you know, sometime in September to November timeframe. And what I'm worried about is the folks on the right. And again, please don't get me wrong. Do I think this is a valid concern? Absolutely. But we, you know, it's like I've got two kids who play, you know, soccer and basketball and sports, and they'll come over and say, Dad, I can't believe that he tripped me. I got pushed. And I'm like, great. The ref didn't catch it. The score still says we're down two. We want to win. Let's go. And that's where I think that, you know, we have to have our head right now, which is, okay, it's a tie game. Maybe we're up one or two right now, but we have 100 days until this election comes. And my friends, there is too much at stake. I thought one term of Joe Biden was bad. Can you imagine where our country would be after 4 years of Kamala Harris? Oh. And it scares me, Jesse. It scares me.
Speaking with Sean Spicer of the Sean Spicer Show, you can find it wherever podcasts are found. Okay, Sean, so from my outside looking in view, I look at the Trump campaign. You know, I don't really care for any politician, just kind of observe as best I can. I see a pretty sharp, pretty disciplined, pretty unmessage campaign from Trump. The Trump's campaign has impressed me so far, but you look at these things with a different eye than I do. What are you seeing? Are you impressed? Are you horrified? What are you seeing?
Well, up until Kamala dropped out, I was 100% with you. Like how they have run this, and my only point is, don't get me wrong, I agree with you. It's more to the masses to let everyone understand President Trump has been pitch perfect. That convention, I've been dealing with conventions on both sides of the aisle. I've gone to the Democrat ones to do the counter messaging. That was the best convention I've seen in my lifetime. And by God, people need to understand that the hand of Donald Trump in every aspect of that convention was seen. I've dealt with him. I dealt with him in 2016. They are running a great campaign. They ran a great convention. And my only point is to the masses to say, guys, it shifted. It changed. We got screwed. I get it. But like, we need to pivot real quick. There was sort of to keep using my game time analysis here, there was a player substitution. Adjust the game. It's a new player. We've got to guard them differently. And this is Donald Trump's race to lose. He's been fantastic. They have a great ground game, et cetera, et cetera. I agree with your analysis. But my point now is that now we have to retune. Most of the folks on the left and in the middle, those handful of people, cared about Joe Biden's mental acuity and fitness for office. That issue's off the table. Now Kamala Harris is running around, and she has shape-shifted more than anybody that I've seen in politics in decades. She was the tough prosecutor coming out of San Francisco focused on truancy and drug crimes. Then she became the BLM advocate. I mean, this is a woman who almost is as bad as Joe Biden when it comes to tell me where the party is and I'll tell you what issue I support and not where I am on it. And the media will allow her to do that. And every time I talk to somebody, they're like, oh, she's horrible. I'm like, great. And how many people know that? We've got to prosecute the case against her and how disastrous her policies have been.
Sean, tell me this. We wake up on November 6th and we lost. I'm not rooting for this, but we wake up on November 6th and we lost the election. What happened? What did we miss? What did we do wrong?
Well, that's frankly my warning, is that I have been saying we are not focused on who, as I said at the outset, are the issues about whether he's fit to serve, whether he should resign, how the process is, are those valid concerns? Yes, I do not want anyone not to think. But to answer your question, I'm seeing too many folks on the right focus on things that don't move the needle. Do they reinforce why we don't like them? Yes. Do they get us a single more vote for Donald Trump? No. Look, there's a guy that I host a call with in the morning called The Morning Meeting. I host it on my YouTube channel every morning at 9 a.m. We have a Democrat, and we were asking him about what Democrats think of Kamala Harris. And he said, imagine it's raining outside, and there's someone in your office that you don't like, but they pull up outside your office in their car and say, would you like a ride? For that ride, they are your best friend. They're like, hey, you kept me out of the rain and got me to my destination dry. And so right now, Kamala Harris is that ride. She is the person that they said, we can't handle Joe Biden. He's horrible. And she was like, wait, I'll step up to the plate. I will be the replacement. And they said, great, you're not who we like or who we'd want, but you're not Joe Biden either. And you take the mental acuity and fitness for office issue off the table for so many voters. Okay.
No doubt
so
about it.
We have to remember they're excited, not necessarily because they like her. I don't think there's a ton of Democrats that are saying, wahoo, it's Kamala. I mean, remember, she got kicked out of her own primary in 2020, and she only got this because she was acclimated. I mean, this is ridiculous. To say that she wasn't coordinated for this job is ridiculous. They faked an open process. I get it. But at the end of the day, for so many Democrats, the Hollywood elite or whatever, they get to say, great, she's not Joe Biden. And we have to be excited. We have to rally around her.
No doubt. Yeah, they're not happy about Dome. It's just she's an easy ride. Sean, thank you so much, my friend. As always, I appreciate you. Sean Spicer.
All right.
Go find his stuff. He's always gives the good stuff. All right. Speaking of Kamala Harris, let's talk about bedding. Let's talk about your bed. How do you sleep at night? Have you considered making improvements to your bedding? And I am embarrassed to say this, but the kind of bedding I have legit affects how I sleep now. Look, when I was 10, I could sleep on a bed of broken glass. Now, I need the right pillow. I need the right sheets. I need a good mattress. But I realize that stuff's expensive. You want a good mattress today, you're dropping $1,000. $4,000 or $5,000 if you really want to be a richy rich. Or you could go drop $69.98 for a brand new mattress topper at MyPillow. Mattress topper will change your entire life. You want your bed to just hold you like a bed. You want that? Go to MyPillow.com. They also have the premium MyPillows, queen size ones for $19.98 right now. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special. Square use the promo code Jesse or call them 800-845-0544. We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember to email your Ask Dr. Jesse questions for tomorrow. Email them in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are allegedly 10 minutes away from Joe Biden finally addressing the nation for the first time since he announced he's not running for president. I can't believe that's where we are, but we're allegedly 10 minutes from that. I want to remind everyone again, I am going to carry those comments in their entirety right here. If it's a commercial break or something when he starts, then we are going to delay it and we're going to begin at the beginning. And I do not anticipate it being long. There's no way. Look, this guy is in very poor health. Whatever we believe about the rumors, the reports, the medical emergency, the Joe Biden before all that was in poor health. He's now that he's not running for president, remember, he's canceling fundraisers. He's canceling events. He's checked out. He's done. He's not going to sit there and talk for a half hour. It's way past his bedtime. I anticipate it being 5-10 minutes, and then we're going to get back to our regularly scheduled program. All right. but that's coming up about 10 minutes from now. Let's deal with some things here. In fact, let's deal with some evil, dirty commies. Elderly Trump supporter in critical condition after politically motivated attack took place in Hancock, Michigan. Guy was putting up a yard sign in the evening, and some dude on an ATV just drove into his yard and drove over him. 22-year-old commie. They found the kid later. Well, the kid. They found the man later, went home and blew his brains out, shot himself in the head. I just want to remind you that violence is not what the communist does. Communism is based on violence. It's who he is. Mao had the quote when it comes to this: all political power comes from the barrel of a gun. When you're fighting a revolution and you combine that with the fact that you don't view human beings as being created by God, as being unique souls, when they're just flesh and blood animals, and you're fighting a revolution, what those two things do is they give you the freedom to commit acts of murder and violence over and over and over again, and your moral compass gives you the permission to do those things when you're fighting a revolution against people who aren't really people at all. These people are sick. I'm going to play something for you. It's a little montage. It's going to probably make you mad. I'm going to do emails after that, so just stay with me. But this is a little montage. What is it? Well, you know, Christopher Wray spoke in front of the House of Representatives today. I just played you some audio for that about 20 minutes ago. This is the director of the FBI with an opportunity to speak in front of Congress about the fact that Donald Trump almost lost his life on camera in broad daylight. We still focus so much on the celebration and how happy we are that didn't happen, and that's good, right? But we were 2 inches away from watching Donald Trump get his head blown off on camera. This is the biggest deal of big deals. Democrats today were given the opportunity to interrogate Christopher Wray, ask him some pointed questions about what happened, the failures, and everything else. Listen to what they did.
Do candidates for the FBI have to go through background checks?
Yes.
Would someone with dozens of felony convictions survive a background check for the Bureau?
No.
So they would never be hired by the Bureau?
No.
Well, clearly the Bureau has, you don't have to comment on this, I know you won't, but clearly the Bureau has higher standards for their hiring than one of America's great political parties.
Imagine what could have happened if we had spent these thousands of hours of staff time and those millions of taxpayer dollars addressing even one aspect of the political violence that now threatens our country. Perhaps, had this Republican majority lifted a finger to help a nation that is awash in guns, the assassin in Butler would not have had such easy access to the weapon he used to fire on that crowd.
They don't miss a beat. As we have said many times, you see this in the wake of everything. It doesn't matter what it is, a mass shooting, some kind of natural disaster, an assassination. It doesn't matter what it is. To an anti-human, there's no such thing as a human tragedy. In the same way for you or for me, a mosquito tragedy is not something that could ever exist. There is no number of mosquitoes you could bring to me. Jesse, don't you understand? 100 mosquitoes were killed yesterday. Wouldn't bother me a bit. No, Jesse, don't you understand? Yesterday they killed 10 million mosquitoes. Wouldn't move the meter for me at all. I don't even care for mosquitoes. In fact, I freaking hate mosquitoes. Because I don't place any value on the life of the mosquito, there's no such thing as a mosquito tragedy for me. That's how the communist thinks about humans, loss of life, or even the almost loss of life. A man was just shot in the head and died right over his daughter at that Trump rally. The Republican nominee for president almost lost his brains on the stage. And to the American communist, there is nothing that matters at all beyond power, campaigning, grabbing guns, because there's no such thing as a human tragedy for anti-humans. That's why these people can, with a straight face, stand on the bodies of still dead children and grab for your guns before the cops have put down a shooter. They do it as easy as they breathe. That's why they commit acts of violence as easy as they breathe. Anti-humans. That's what we're dealing with. Anti-humans. They are anti-humanity. All right. I want to get to a bunch of emails. We'll make fun of a couple Democrats. I want to talk to you first about the nutrition you give your dog. Our dogs get dog food. They all do. What color is your dog's food? It is brown. What color are the leaves in the fall when they change? Are they green anymore? No, they're not. Why do they change? Because they die. Dog food is brown because brown things are dead. Start pouring Rough Greens, the all-natural nutritional supplement, on your dog's food. Omega oils and digestive enzymes and antioxidants and probiotics and vitamins and minerals. Pour Rough Greens on your dog's food so your dog can live longer and healthier. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse and get yourself a free jumpstart trial bag, or you can call them 833-33-MY-DOG. 833-33-MY-DOG. We still have an hour left. I believe we're about to hear from President Joe Biden. If that doesn't happen, then we'll just deal with what we can deal with. Next.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment, on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.